Blog Talk Radio.
Dear Lord, hear my prayers. For I am a patriot, Lord, and I won't bow down nor apologize to the cowards that try to take away our unalienable, God-given rights and freedoms. I will stand with my brothers and sisters, with arms, if we must, to defend our Constitution and our way of life in this great republic from all enemies, foreign and domestic. Dear Lord, I ask that you shield us and protect us with your armor. Take us from the darkness and guide us with your ever so divine light as we restore this republic for which it does stand. That is one nation under you, God, with all liberties and justice for all mankind. Amen. This is Ricochet. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. This is Denise calling from Wild Heart Command. And I have Colonel Cobra on the line with me here. We're going to talk about our humanitarian aid in South Carolina, where the hurricane came in and flooded out several of the low-lying areas 2 weeks ago. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Rebel, how you doing?
All right. Would you like to tell everybody a little bit about what's going on?
Yeah, last week we went down and responded to the flooding disasters and passed out some supplies, donated through some local churches, and run some missions into some of the low-lying areas down there that were cut off from the flood, and got to work with a lot of our patriots that came in and helped the people. It's great to see all the community get together and all the patriots come in and respond and help their neighbors in that time of need. So it was a great honor to work with everybody that was there.
Oh, yes, sir. And I'd like to say that I was on this trip, and we had a lot of fun. We got to go down into the community and got to meet the people and help them. And I would say probably the most interesting part of that was the logistics part of it, because it was so sporadic, I guess would be the word. Do you want to, Brian, would you like to elaborate on that?
Yeah, the logistics side of that was very difficult. You know, we like to thank all their Christian community out there, Anchor Baptist Broadcasting or Anchor Baptist Disaster Missions out of Brevard, North Carolina, Randy Barton and his folks, and all those that donated goods. And we started our missions out in Anderson, South Carolina, so we traveled about 2,000 miles in 2 weeks, so we traveled a lot of ground, and most of it was in South Carolina, you know, running around the flooded areas. But being able to get supplies into these points and that were cut off from parts of the county, you had to go around all the flooded bridges and stuff like that. So it was a very, very logistically challenging environment there. But we managed to get it done through a lot of intel through the Patriot community and a lot of coordination from Captain Harrison, Wildcard Command. We thank him for all his support on that. Captain D. Buggum and all the guys that went there, Gibbs, and just a bunch of good people that went there, and a lot of other fellow patriots that came in from other states, you know, outside of Tennessee. I don't know all of them by name. I wish I did. Give them props for coming out. They did what they needed to do to support their community. So we're really glad to see that come in place, and you know, working with getting the supplies where they needed to be in the hands of the people, and that was what was really good.
Yeah, and I'd like to elaborate on that part of it, because communicating with other groups and other leaders in other states, et cetera, they all, some of them took up donations from within their group and within their community and paid for the trip down to South Carolina to deliver these goods that were so badly needed. I don't think most people realize the devastation that water can do. They were forced out of their homes, no power, losing their food. Then they had to go back in and gut the house and redo it, basically. From some of these houses, and we have the picture, some of these houses were completely underwater for days. A lot of it was unexpected, because nobody expected dams to break. And the water, when the dam break, was so forceful, it would knock over chain link fences, trees, and everything else.
Absolutely. I know, you know, the devastation there was tremendous. I mean, you recall our night ops mission we ran in the Big Dam community, for one, and, you know, how we had to ford water going in over a bridge, and we're not knowing really how stable the bridge would if it hold the truck. And, you know, I've got a big Chevrolet high truck, 3500, and we rode in there, all of us, and going in and delivering these supplies. But, you know, we do what we do as patriots. We love our communities, and, you know, we stand there when they need us. We're going to be there. So this is what we should be doing as a patriot community when we have these types of situations, and help our neighbors and our states get back on their feet. And these guys were cut off talking to them, and then for 7 days without anything that was there in that little island. I think they nicknamed this area Gilligan's Island, if you recall. And they had killed a lot of snakes and all kinds of stuff. When we went in there, they were talking about, you know, they're looking, everything's looking for high ground. So not only are you dealing with flooding and water situation and running out of supplies and no potable water, no food, hungry people, you also got hungry critters running around.
Yeah. Yeah, and the mosquitoes that were like alligators. But it was interesting. We got to see a lot of things that normally you would not count. Like, for instance, the dam, the bridge that, or the roadway going into the community, it was a 2-hour detour for a trip that normally would take 5 or 10 minutes. And we do have videos up on YouTube, and we do have pictures all over Facebook, et cetera. But some people in South Carolina, the media didn't cover this. They said everybody was okay. There were people in South Carolina that had no idea that fellow residents in their state were in trouble. But the logistics part of it, the getting the supplies to these people, like Brian said, we had to go through water to get in there to them. And that was a week. That was more than, it was over a week, wasn't it, Brian? It was like 7 or 8 days from the first time we went down. But,
Yeah, it was a 2-week operation, really. You know, we, had the first week, initial weekend, and then the second week was still flood waters that were way up, and, you know, they had crested about that time, and, you know, I think we got some good photos of actually where the water was at one point during the first week and how it had went down considerably the second week, but still these roadways were completely flooded. Interstate 41 coming out of Andrews up into Big Dam, like you said, was a major highway corridor. And, you know, most of the people and residents in there are used to, you know, especially your elderly, and we met an elderly woman that was running around in the area lost, because you just don't think about these things, but she's always used to getting in her car and just driving down 41 into Andrews and going grocery shop and go back home. And for her to go around these back roads and try to navigate bridges and get down in these areas where it runs into water and flooding and just washed out ravines. And it was dramatic on a lot of these people. So they, weren't used to this situation at all, and we were able to help some of those people, and that was good too, and get them back home and get them some supplies and food and hot food and water and cleaning supplies and just about everything they asked for. We were able to get through donations, and a lot of people stepped up for support of this, and that's what we like to see.
Yeah, absolutely. We did get a lot of help from other groups and just people coming in together. And there was such a good bond between the communities, and we got to help do that too, to instigate them reaching out and knowing where to reach out to in neighboring communities to ask for help and to work together. And there was a lot of tears, I promise you. It was very overwhelming for a lot of people. If you've never lost everything in your life, it can be a very tough thing to go through. And when, like Brian said, especially when you're older, and there's nobody there but you. This lady was in tears, and she stopped. We had stopped to deliver some supplies, and she was going down the road and had pulled over crying, asking for help because she was lost. She didn't even know how to find her way home. These are the kind of situations where you learn that people, the biggest, and I've got goosebumps talking about it, people still care about each other. They still are concerned. I have no idea what the lady's name is, but I'll never forget her face. I promise you that. I mean, these people just came together. Like, it was so amazing. And I know Brian, I was with a bunch of guys, and they couldn't handle all the tears, I don't think. But it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it was a very emotional situation at times. And, you know, you just run and doing, and, you know, you sort of become somewhat numb to it, but not that you don't care and you're not concerned. It's just a whole lot of things going on at one time, and you're trying to help as many people as you can. You just realize the magnitude of the situation when you get into these areas. And, you know, it was great to see all the support. At the same time, you know, the people that were there were appreciative of the support that they were getting. And, like I say, they were just in tears that this outpouring was coming in. And, you know, that was a blessing in itself to see that. And, you know, it does give you goosebumps because, you know, you did a good deed and you try to help people. And, you know, you look at what they're going through and you wish you could do more. But our objectives were to, you know, get them out there and sustain them and show them where the supply points were. So that was another part of our operation that we did, was when we went into the communities, we didn't just leave them there without any means. We picked some leaders in the communities. We talked to them. We got them set up on, communication capabilities with us. And then we got them set up so that they could get to distribution supply points, and knew the points of contacts and who to contact to get the needed supplies, and, you know, through the process that they had to go through to get supplies out of these distribution centers for these various communities that were hit really hard, which was Big Dam area, I think, was it Willie Town, Bloomingville, several areas in there. I can't remember all the names right off now, but that we were into that was really hard hit. And some of these, like you had said, totally flooded their houses, completely underwater. Some of them had, about up to the window level flooding, but still devastation. You know, it's just everything in the house is ruined. And to recover from that, they've got to, you know, go in and tear all that out and kill all that mold. And so there's a lot of cleanup that they've got to do. And they were very appreciative of everything they got and these supplies that they were getting for, coming back in the second week was requests for, you know, cleaning supplies, bleach and different things to kill the mold. So we were able to locate some of that, too, in these distribution centers and get them out to these areas that were hard hit.
Oh, yeah. And we just went off live, but we still have a few minutes to talk if you'd like to continue to talk. But it was, I believe the name of the church was Pleasant Grove, Pleasant Grove Baptist Church. These people,
right.
They even told us that every time there's ever been any type of flooding or anything, they're always forgotten. And for people to come from other states down to them and not forget about them, I personally have made friendships that will probably last a lifetime. And I know the memories of it. I just want to say thank you for letting me be part of it. And thank you for being somebody that would get up and actually go. And there's a lot of other people like that, too. A big problem we have is the media not covering it in the way they don't go out into the communities, don't have the time, access, money, whatever, to make that happen. But we build these community teams to talk with each other, one, so they can get help to each other quickly. Another thing is to get the message out even further, that way they're not forgotten about. That's the biggest problem, is communication, especially down in these low-lying country, little tiny communities, because that's basically what they all were. It was this very tiny community. Big Dam's not even listed on a map, but it is an area. We looked for it for almost a week before we even found it, and we happened up on it by accident. Well, I won't say by accident. I'll say by the grace of God, but, you know, it's, you really got to get on the ground when things like this happen and get down and ask and talk to the people in different communities, because that's how we found out about it, is just by overhearing a different conversation. And I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. Is there anything else you'd like to say, Ryan?
No, I think we got it pretty much covered. I enjoyed every minute of it. I enjoyed working with everyone there. You know, it's just like I said, it's just great to see all the people come out from all different areas in support of this, and I appreciate them. It was an honor.
Well, thank you very much, and I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. You guys have a great night, and we'll be here again next week at 6:30 on Friday night. Have a great night, bro.
All right. Take care, Angel. Bye.
Good luck.